You're listening to sermons from Redeemer Church in Round Rock, Texas. Redeemer is a gospel-centered, missional family learning and living the way of Jesus in the suburbs of Austin.
You may be seated. Good morning, church. Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. If you're a guest with us, I want to formally welcome you. My name is Jordan, and I'm one of our pastors here at Redeemer. And it's a good Sunday to visit. We're starting a new sermon series today, one that I'm really excited about. We're calling it Making Space. When you walked in, you should have been handed a worship guide, and then in your seat, there's a little worksheet. We'll talk about that later. Don't get too distracted by that. But if you look at your worship guide, it will give you a bit of a roadmap as to where we're headed in this sermon series, starting today and into the next 6 weeks. As much as this is a new teaching series, it's really an initiative in our church that will span the season of Lent. Lent officially begins this Wednesday, and historically, Lent has been a time where Christians around the globe will fast for the 6 weeks leading up to Easter. And there's a lot of confusion. There can be some confusion around fasting and Lent. What is it? And maybe depending upon your background or denomination or tradition, you maybe have experienced that a little bit differently. But simply put, the season of Lent and the practice of fasting is an act of saying, God, we want to grow our hunger and grow our appetite for you. We want to grow our hunger and grow our appetite for you, for more of God. And while we're not in this initiative necessarily calling for a church-wide fast over the next 6 weeks during the season of Lent, we are in this series seeking to grow our hunger for God. Typically, we'll preach through books of the Bible here at Redeemer, but this is more of an equipping series where we hope to provide you and equip you with tools and practices that will help you cultivate a more dynamic and vibrant life with God. I don't know about you, but I want more of God in my life. I want more of God. I want to know His presence more personally in my life. I want to know what it means to depend upon His power day by day. I want to live more fully for His glory in all things than I currently do right now. I want more of God in my life. I want more of God in this church. And one of the things that I know is that God wants to give us more. I know that. It's the reason that the Father sent the Son, and the Son has given us the Spirit, and the Spirit, it gathers us and indwells us as His people. In fact, this is the first thing I want you to note if you're taking notes, that in and through the gospel, God has not only worked to save us from our sins, yes and amen, but He's also worked to save us for a relationship with Him. He saved us for a relationship with Him. But I know that there are some who maybe have never been taught, never been equipped on how to cultivate a life with God, how to grow their knowing of God and being known by Him, how to cultivate a life with Him. There's some that have never been taught. Maybe, you know, you've trusted Christ for salvation, and then you come to church and you show up to events at the church, but don't really know how to walk with Him day by day and moment by moment. This is what this series is for, is to help equip you. And then there are others of us who need to relearn how to cultivate a life with God, who need to relearn how to walk with Him. Perhaps your season of life has changed, and the practices and the disciplines and the tools that worked for you in one season no longer fit this current season. By the way, if you don't know this or not, the world has changed in the last 10 years, and we are a much more distracted and divided people, mind, body, and soul. And so we need to relearn practices for our current age. And so that's what we're after, equipping the church to experience more of God in daily life. That's what we're after in this series. And so along with each teaching, along with each sermon, we're going to be calling us to a church-wide practice each week. And so that's the worksheet that is on your chair. That's what I'll talk about that more in a minute, but that's what that's for. It will guide us through together as a church, a practice for this week. Here's what I want to do today as we kick off this series, Making Space. I want to help us think biblically about what it means to have a relationship with God. I want to really think well about what it means to have a relationship with God. And so three things today that I hope will ground this series in the gospel from the get-go. First, if you're taking notes, I want to talk about union with God and Christ. Union with God and Christ. Number two, communion with God in life. Communion with God in life. And then number three, a call to make space or to declutter our lives. Let me pray for us, and we'll get into it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this space that you've made for us. Thank you for the gift of the gathered church and how week by week you meet us and you teach us and you form us and you nourish us. Thank you for your great grace given to us in Jesus. And thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that's with us as we gather. And as we open your word together today, and as we begin this series and this season of Lent this week, our prayer is simple. God, we want to encounter you. We want to hear from you today, and we want to encounter you in this season. And so, Lord, would you move? Would you open our ears and open our eyes to see, open our hearts to receive from you? As we lean in and draw near to you, we pray that you would draw near to us. For your name and your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's begin by talking about the doctrine of union with God in Christ. The reason that I want to start here is because anytime that Christians start talking about growing a relationship with God or growing their relationship with God, anytime we start talking about spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices or spiritual formation, we become vulnerable to losing the gospel of grace. We become vulnerable to losing the gospel of grace. In fact, I'm a little bit concerned right now because spiritual formation is becoming kind of trendy right now in evangelicalism. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, and that's okay. Others of you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of gotten buzzy or trendy. There's some leading voices in the church or influential in evangelicalism today that whose books are flying off the shelf and whose podcasts are trending, who are calling Christians to embrace a Christian life that's more rooted and disciplined, a life that is centered on specific practices and rituals. This has gotten a little bit buzzy and trendy right now. And I want to be clear about this. I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. But what I am saying is that we need to be extra careful when we start talking about spiritual disciplines and practices that we don't unintentionally wade into the waters of legalism. What is legalism? Glad you asked. Great question. It's an earning or achieving centered way of relating to God. It's an attitude toward God that we can earn, achieve, or accrue from him based upon what we do or fail to do. It's a belief that we can earn God's favor or presence by keeping rules and practices rather than relying solely on faith and grace. It sounds something kind of like this. This is kind of how it bubbles up in a heart. Well, if I just do more, or if I just get it right, or if I just do better, then God will blank. God will bless me. God will forgive me. God will save me. God, whatever. Fill in the blank. And the gospel opposes legalism. The gospel is not about earning or achieving or accruing with God. The gospel is solely about admitting and receiving. Admitting that I am not enough. I can't do enough. I never have been able to and never will be able to. I simply receive grace that God freely gives. And when it comes to spiritual disciplines, it's easy for legalism or the heart of legalism to slip into our pursuit of God. We can view spiritual disciplines as a means to become better Christians. Or we can look at the disciplines that we keep and the practices that we follow, and we can feel like we're better than other Christians. Do you see how this can happen? Legalism can produce in us a sense of self-righteousness and pride that, like, we're the ones who kind of know how to do this and others don't. Or the opposite side of the coin of legalism is that it can produce guilt and shame. That I'm trying to do these practices and keep these rituals, and I'm not very good at it, and I'm a lousy Christian. I'm not a good enough Christian. What's wrong with me? Do you see this? The gospel, it opposes legalism. It's God's grace that saves us. It's God's grace that matures us. It's God's grace that keeps us. It's God's grace that defines us, not our failures or our victories of spiritual disciplines. So, how do we talk about spiritual disciplines and practices and avoid the trap of legalism? How do we keep the gospel central as we seek more of God in our lives? Well, we need to understand the doctrine of union with God in Christ. The doctrine of union with Christ, it's all over the New Testament, all over the New Testament. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his New Testament letters, uses the phrase in Christ or in the Lord or in Christ Jesus or in him more than 200 times. Like if I said, hey, homework, take a highlighter and read the New Testament letters, which are written to Christians, people who are in Christ by grace through faith. Read those letters and highlight anytime you see in Christ, in the Lord. Like your paper would look like a rainbow. You know, it would be highlighted everywhere. Your Bible would be. It's all over the Bible, this doctrine of union with Christ. This is Paul's favorite way of explaining to us what it means to be a Christian. That by God's grace, through faith, believers are united to Jesus. Think about that. By grace, through faith, you are united with Jesus. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In me. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone, and behold, new things have come. By faith, we're united to Christ. His death in our place. His perfect life for us. His victorious resurrection on our behalf. Union with Christ means that the truest thing about you, if you are a believer by faith in Christ, it's the truest thing about you is that you're in him. That when the Father looks at you from the heavenly realm, he sees you right now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. When he looks at you right now, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Why? Because you're in him by faith. Through grace. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. Listen to this. For you have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. You have died, your life, you, is hidden with God in Christ. Think about that. When he's saying hidden there, it's like this idea of like, you're enveloped, like it's wrapped around you. Christ is in you, and you are enveloped in him. Everything that is his is yours. Wow, that's mind-blowing. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So hear me. The Christian life, therefore, is not about earning or atoning or achieving or accruing. It's about learning to live into all that is already yours in Christ. We put off sin that Christ has already put to death for us. Amen? We put on the righteousness that Christ has already applied for us. We take hold of the life. Jesus says, in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. Eternal life, yes, life abundantly with God. Now, we take hold of the life that he's already secured for us. And so here's the primary principle that I want to give us from the onset as we start talking about making space in our lives to seek more of God. It's this. Your union with God in Christ is the basis, it is the foundation for your communion with God in this life. Your union with Him, what He's done for you on your behalf, is the basis for your communion with Him. There's an image if you want to throw that up. When we think about God and us, when we think about being united with Christ, united with God in Christ, your union with God is a one-way street. It's a one-way street. If you're a Christian, it means that you've been bought with a price. It means that something has happened to you. It means that God has done a work on your behalf for you, and you have accessed it by grace through faith. He's dealt with your sin. He's called you out. He's awakened faith. He's applied His grace, and He will keep you until the end. It's entirely based on grace, and it's His work in your life. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to how Paul puts it. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, which you once walked. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He lavished, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is what? A gift of God, not the result of works, so that no man may boast. You see, being a believer, having a relationship with God, the Christian life, it starts with the Father's loving pursuit in your life, and it's achieved through the work of the Son on the cross, and it's applied through the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't contribute anything to your salvation except for your need. You don't contribute anything to your justification, being made right, but your need. You don't contribute anything to your adoption, being called a beloved son or daughter of God, except for your need. It's a one-way street. It's a work, a gift of love of the triune God that you receive. It's a gift. It's a gift that's guaranteed. It's a gift that you didn't earn, and so you cannot lose. And if you are here this morning and you've never received the gift of salvation from sin and new life with God, it's available to you. You can access this gift. You can receive this gift by faith today, by saying, I want to claim Jesus, His perfect life for me, His death in my place, His victorious resurrection as my only hope in life and death. You can claim that today by faith, by claiming Him as your Savior, crowning Him as your King. And if you've never done that, I'll be in the back after the sermon today during our response time. I would love to pray with you, and you can start a relationship with God today by faith. It's an incredible gift. And if you're a believer, if you're here today and you already are a believer, I want you to hear this. Your relationship with God, that gift you've been given and you've received by grace, is to be enjoyed and cultivated. It's to be enjoyed and cultivated. Yet, far too many of us who have been united with Christ settle for too little of God in our life. You can throw the next image up. If union with God is a one-way street, communion with God is a two-way street. Our union with Him is the basis for our communion with Him. I want to help us understand communion with God in light of this incredible doctrine of union. Listen to the call in Colossians to cultivate communion with God. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. Paul writes, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, what did you do? You received it. Union, united with God through Christ. So walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The word walk there, he says, so as you've received it, walk in Him. It means in the Greek, literally, be occupied with Him. Consider Him. Think about Him. Seek Him. walk with him, live life with him, cultivate communion with God. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. He says this, "If then you have been raised with Christ, or since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, that are above, not on the things on earth. Because you have union with God in Christ, cultivate communion with the triune God. Seek him, set your mind on him." James says it so simply in James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." A relationship with God, it is a gift of grace. You can't earn it, and you can't use it, but you know what you can do? You can neglect it. You can neglect it. Communion with God, it's a two-way street. And too often, too many of us settle for too little of God in our lives. I was trying to think of a way to illustrate this, and I want you to think about, I'm going to give you kind of two different Christian experiences. Person A and person B. We'll call person A Jim and person B Jan. And I promise these aren't based on anyone in this church. I'm not picking on anybody here. These are just people I made up, all right? Person A. I want you to think about these two different Christian experiences. Person A, Jim. Jim has been a Christian for 30 years, and he's enjoying God more now than ever before. Been a Christian 30 years. Enjoying God now more than ever before. Jim's life is far from perfect. He experiences the normal struggles and hardships of everyday life. He lives on a tight budget. He has a demanding job, and he faces other personal challenges. Yet he is regularly aware of God's presence and sustaining grace in his life. After 30 years of reading his Bible on a regular basis and hearing God's word taught every Sunday, he is still seeing and savoring new truths that move his heart to worship, move his life to greater faith, service, and fellowship with other believers. 30 years, and he's enjoying God more now than ever before. And then there's person B, Jan. Jan has also been a Christian for 30 years. While Jan has never doubted her faith, and while she faithfully participates in her church week by week, her relationship with God has grown quite bland. If asked to describe her relationship with God, she would say, "It's there, but it's dull." The Bible on Jan's counter gets a lot less attention than the screens in her home. Facebook and Netflix, she spends significantly more time keeping up with current events and trends than she does with prayer. And while her church attendance is strong, her passions are elsewhere and her heart is unsettled. What's the difference between Jim and Jan? What's the difference? Jim and Jan both share the same status in Christ. They share the same loving Father. They have the same seat at his table. They have the same heavenly inheritance, and they will stand in the same eternal glory. Yet, one of them knows more of God and is more satisfied in God and is more sanctified in this life than the other. Both are united to God by grace through faith, yet one enjoys greater communion with God day by day. Do you see it? Here's the point. The daily posture of your heart and the practice of your faith will either contribute to or diminish your experience of God in the here and now. The posture of your heart and the practices of your faith will either contribute to or diminish your experience of God in the here and now. Your actions or inactions with God will affect your communion with him day by day. So it's really a question of, what is it that you're seeking? Where is your heart set? What is the posture of your heart? What are you seeking? What are you giving your time and your attention to? What are the things that are day by day capturing your affection? What is it that you turn to or look to for rest and satisfaction? One of the things that I hope we'll see during this series over the next 6 weeks is that none of us are neutral. None of us are neutral. We're all filling the space in our heart and in our mind and in our life with something. None of us are neutral. And God desires to fill the space in your heart and in your mind and in your life. None of us are neutral. And so over the next 6 weeks, what we're going to do is just, we're going to, as a church, there's just a call to let's actually make space for God, the God who desires to fill the space and to form us and to meet with us and to lead us and guide us and be our joy and our peace and our guide. Let's make space for him. Let's declutter and tune our hearts and our minds to the triune God. In fact, God so desires to fill the space of your heart and your mind and your life that he's provided us with many, many different, what's called means of grace for you to know him. There's many different tools and many different ways, practices, disciplines, whatever word you want to use, many different ways in which God has provided for us to cultivate communion with him. This gathering is one of them. As we meet week by week and we sing and preaching and fellowship and the Lord's Supper, they're all means of grace by which we grow our communion with him. But there are others. There are so many tools that are in the tool bag of the Christian life. What we're going to do over the next 6 weeks is we're going to look at six specific spiritual practices. That's hard to say. Six specific spiritual practices that I think are most important for us in the here and now. Six things in our time, in our place, in this culture, to help you cultivate a life with God, to experience more of God. You know, we live in a time, in an interesting age. We live in an age where we are bombarded with digital distractions, where we are overrun at times, it feels, with daily demands in suburban culture, and where we are pulled with worldly desires. I'll talk about this more next week, but I was doing some research this week for next week's sermon, and man, this digital age that we live in, there's never really been a generation of humans that have experienced what we experienced in the last 10 years. Did you know, on average, the average person looks at their phone, so touches or picks up their phone, and depending on the study that you look at, anywhere from 150 to 350 times per day. Within the first 10 minutes of being awake, 90% of people look at their phone within the first 10 minutes. So that's like all of you, okay? It's like 90%. That's probably all of you. There's 10% of people who aren't honest on surveys. So that's everybody. 7 hours a day is what the average human being today spends on screens. 7 hours. We live in an age where we are bombarded with digital distractions. We live in a context, suburbia, that pulls us with daily demands. And we live in a fallen world, and we have a real enemy that wants to tempt us with worldly desires. And what you need to understand is that these things are forming you. Your phone and your screens are shaping your heart and your mind more than you know. How many of you have ever bought something that you didn't wake up that day intending to buy? You just were scrolling. And you're like, oh, huh, and that led to that, and that led to that, and then all of a sudden, there goes your money. How did that happen? You're being formed. It's shaping your heart and your mind and your actions, what you take in from screens. Your schedule and what you allow to fill your schedule is forming you and your family into the people that you're becoming. The allure and the value system of this world is shaping your heart's desires. None of us are neutral. We're all being formed and shaped by the things that we give our time and our attention and our affection to. So if we want to experience more of God, we must make space for him. We must reset the attention of our heart and mind, the time on our calendar, and the desires of our lives. We must reset. We must make space. We must put some things away or put some things off or repurpose some things. We must pick up the right activities that renew our mind and form our lives and purify our desires. This is what we're after over the next 6 weeks. We're going to talk, the next two weeks, we're going to talk about daily practices. We'll spend next week talking about what it looks like for us to daily turn to Scripture. daily practices that counteract the digital distractions. And then we're going to talk about what it looks like for us to daily or even in a steady state kind of way, learn to pray in a way that counteracts the digital distractions. And then we're going to talk about more regular or weekly practices that God will use to counteract the demands of hectic schedules, things like silence and solitude. And what does it mean to make space to really listen and hear from God in such a loud and noisy world? We're going to talk about the importance of Sabbath and what is Sabbath and Sabbath keeping. And then we're going to end the series with the final 2 weeks with a call to keep making space to share life in community with other Christians and a commitment to live on Jesus' mission. Are we making space in our life for mission? Do you want to know him more? Tune your ear to his voice. Set your mind on things above. Stop and slow down. Stay committed to his people and his mission. These are practices, things that help counteract the formation of the culture. Brothers and sisters, I believe with all of my heart that God wants to give us more. I believe with all of my heart. Here's the question. Are you hungry for him? Are you hungry for him? Are you tired of a weak and neglected Christian faith and practice? Are you ready for more of God? Do you want more of God in your life? This is where we begin. We begin by remembering that no matter how much we might have messed up or neglected our communion with God, we can always start again. Why? Because we are united to God in Christ. By his grace alone, you are standing on a rock-solid foundation of the finished work of Christ. And from that place, that sure and steady place of being in Christ, we can seek him anew and afresh. We can draw near to him. And he will draw near to us. And so here's the question as we begin. As we begin this initiative, simple question. What does it look like for you to make space for more of God in this season? On your chair, when you came in, there's a little worksheet, and it's an audit. It's a making space audit. And what we're going to ask you to do is to carve out some time today, tomorrow, hopefully early this week, to work through the simple questions that are on the guide. And it's going to ask you to consider, where does your time go? And where does your attention fix? And where are your affections? What things are you putting your joy, what things are you looking to for satisfaction? Just audit your life, audit your time, your attention, and your affection. And our hope is that as we do, as we actually sit and consider our life, that God will start to show us where there's clutter, where there's distraction, where there's opportunity, where there's sins and idols that need to be turned from. I hope that as you do that this week, that you will encounter the Lord. I hope that as you talk through these things with your gospel community this week, this will become a fun community project for us. Let me pray for us as we begin this initiative. Father, we submit all of this to you. We pray that during this season of Lent, that we would get a fresh glimpse of you. We pray that we would encounter you anew. I pray that this would be equipping, that there would be new skills and tools and ideas that would help sharpen us as a church to know how to hear from you and to read your word and to enter into prayer daily. I pray that it would be equipping, that we would have some new tools that are put in our tool bag. But more than anything else, God, we ask that your spirit, by your grace, would declutter our lives with things that are robbing us of joy, things that are worldly, things that are meaningful and wasteful, so that we would be more satisfied in you. You'd be more glorified, and that your kingdom would go forward through us, your people. We would become a people of your presence. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are looking for info, find our website at redeemerrr.org or download the Redeemer Round Rock app from the Android or iOS app store.